Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try Edge, Alexander Valley Cabernet from famed wine producer Ray Signorello. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Tonight won't be just any night. I'm feeling a little edgy tonight, Rob, but it's good to be here.
Are you performing sometime in the Catskills, Vegas, Reno, or Atlantic City?
Live from the Poconos.
Oh, Poconos. I'm sorry. More like you're more of a Branson quality producer.
You know, in the Poconos, they still have the honeymoon suite with a heart-shaped bed. So on a, sits on a pedestal in the honeymoon suite.
You scream that. Let's just be. You should go there by yourself.
What anyway. Makes you think that I'm doing anything other than that?
That's true. Sir, why do you need the heart-shaped bed? Well, I brought some Vaseline. Okay. Also on the show tonight is the Triple B.
Good evening.
She did not hear. I whispered that, so only you out there heard that. So on tonight's show, I'm sure they're glad that I said that, and then they're leading into their wine. We are back in Alexander Valley, a place that I really enjoy for Cabernet.
Sometimes you enjoy it, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes I'm disappointed.
Other times you enjoy it less than other times.
Well, here we're hopeful, because this wine has pedigree. At least it has winemaking pedigree. So Ray Signorello, he is a well-known, established, very expensive Napa producer. Well, he's the owner. Signorello is a Napa-produced wine. Beautiful wines in Napa. Chardonnay, Cabernet. Well-known. Scott, did I mention they're well-known? Well-known. You're like, who are they? Shut up.
Are they?
Well, you don't know them, but I know the name. Well, why would you know them? What?
No, they're...
What? You just
proper.
Looked it up?
They are it's, proper.
They would say, yes, they're proper. Well, anyway, they have, or he has, Ray. We'll just call him Ray. He has another product, another line, to get into the more inexpensive realms. And that would be Alexander Valley. And so what he's done is, I believe, he has sourced grapes from Alexander Valley. I know we're always a little sketchy about that, but he is, you know, on it, let's just say. And what he did is he created a new line called Edge. They make one wine. It's Alexander Valley Cabernet, which I think we're all a fan of, generally speaking, correct?
I could be happy if somebody said, here's enough Alexander Valley for you to drink this for the next 5 years. That would be a happy gift. If you got, you know, like there was a kid at a college basketball game today, hit a half court shot.
Oh,
free hamburger every day for a year.
Five. Okay. I understand what you mean. Yes. That's fair enough.
If I won a contest and I got 5 years worth of Alexander Valley cab, it'd be a happy day.
That's very good. Well, this is his Edge winery. So as it says on the side, cutting edge Cabernet without the cutting edge price.
Oh, that's a little tacky.
I know. This comes in about $22, because it's the 18 vintage. $22 of your money, which is inexpensive for Alexander Valley, really. Well, not really. I mean, there's all sorts of what...
It's a good price point.
It's, yeah, Salvestrin.
See how the quality is.
There's some other ones that are coming in. There's actually several I've seen right now that are coming in around that $20 range from Alexander Valley. But classically, we like Ferrari Carano. There's also Silver Oak is there.
It's a little more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's 80. Jordan or Jordan. Stone Street. I'm naming a few. Yeah. You don't know any of those, do you? Well, you know Jordan. But.
On walking on Stone Street.
But nevertheless. Ray felt that he needed a value-priced wine, so he's made a value-priced wine, and we're here drinking it now. I will say one thing that's concerning me is the cork. Scott, this is the same material many of your girlfriends were made out of previously. I'm just pointing that out.
Well,
yeah. It's just, you know, it's just.
I don't think they're that's quite as plot. Never mind.
Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here with The Edge here on The Wine Ball. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, The Edge, the 2018 vintage. I believe, Scott, you bought the 17,
is this
correct?
The current vintage?
It is.
It seems to be, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was able to get a couple bottles of 17. A couple bucks cheaper. A
couple bucks cheaper.
We could have done a vertical.
Oh. Where is the 17?
Well,
You know,
I had it.
Well, this
you could have waited.
Waited for what?
So I brought it so we could do a vertical.
Well, how did I know you were going to bring it?
He didn't bring it.
I know.
You. Told you I bought it.
Well, so that doesn't mean you're going to bring it.
That doesn't mean he listened.
It is that. No, he. If it comes to wine, it's he doesn't listen to anything else. But he there's a place that he. takes that SIM card and it doesn't come out.
I'll stick the SIM card up somebody. Okay, anyway.
Up your butt.
Some facts and figures about the Edge. It's cutting edge. 91% Cabernet, 9% Petite Sirah.
That's a little interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We see Petite Sirah blended with Zin.
And?
Quite regularly.
And Sewers. But that's okay.
Easy.
I don't like Petite Sirah blended.
Well,
stuff.
They do it all the time.
Get over
though.
It.
I know. I don't like it.
Get off your high
Why
horse.
Why does it bother you? It's such a small amount. It doesn't.
I don't know.
He just likes to be. He
just put your drop of ink. Put Merlot in there. I don't
he
know.
He likes.
I don't know. I just like it to stay like Bordeaux varietals. I'm sorry. I just put Petit Verdot. You could do that. I don't know. I'm just saying. Whatever.
You like it to be. You like it to stay Bordeaux varietals.
Yes.
Where is this from?
It's from Alexander Valley. I know.
Oh.
I'm not saying that's rational. It's just I like that. I'm sorry.
So why did you buy it?
Because it was interesting.
Because it's interesting. Why?
Because it's Alexander Valley. It's 20 bucks.
And it has 9%
Petite Sirah. It's Alexander Valley. And so they do what?
Make Bordeaux blends. And also, to point something out, I like the bottle.
Why?
So there's that. I think it's a nice looking bottle.
You know what it looks like?
No, it looks, I don't know.
It is marketed to a man. It looks like a
It is a billion percent.
It looks like a men's deodorant. It looks like.
That's fair enough. It is a little bit like that.
It's a very.
It reminds me of all the producting at Target.
Really?
The modern looking font and
maybe.
It was very man.
Well, I liked it. So
hold on.
Huh?
Before we go any further.
Yes.
When you said Target, it reminded me. Walmart has really upped their game. Look at this.
What are they looking at?
Like, this is like a Target looking.
Oh, it's a lamp. She's talking about a lamp.
But they've like really. I mean, this is like nice. The chair is like $700.
Okay.
No, but I'm just saying it's nice stuff.
It's two chairs, though, isn't it?
They're each $700.
What?
They have a line coming out with Gap. A home, like a home, like sheets and stuff.
Wow.
Through the Gap.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's cute. It's really nice stuff.
Who's going to go to Walmart and buy a $700 chair?
So
that's what
so
I'm
now
saying.
There's going to be the full line of products. Banana Republic, Gap, Old Navy, and then the Walmart line.
Mm, lovely. Wow. It's so good.
Their stuff, I mean, all that stuff is pretty. I like all of
their stuff.
Well,
that's a pretty chair. I will say that. It's tufted nicely. Is that the right term for that?
And how did you get this skin rash? bought the Walmart Gap line.
It's true.
Cheats.
Hey, man. I found a meth pipe in this one.
The Walmart Gap line has a set of sheets that are already sold out that I wanted that are going to match the wallpaper Rob's going to put up in our bedroom.
I'm not putting up wallpaper. No. Oh, you know what, though, Scott? Don't. It does come with a free 12-pack of Code Red Mountain Dew. So.
Don't buy the Gap sheets?
No, not from Walmart.
No.
They're pretty.
Oh, Becca.
Anyway, 16 months on 50% new French oak barrels, 14.2% alcohol, 10,000 case production, and then accolades.
Thank you. Hello, this is James Suckling.
How are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm fabulous. Why wouldn't I be fabulous?
Well, you know, those allegations.
Allegations are just mere allegations. They are not proven.
Gap sheets, they're pretty.
Yes.
Are you just being judgmental because they're Walmart?
Yep. Yes, I am.
I was at a Walmart one time.
These are cute.
And
just everyone be ready whenever we are sleeping on Walmart sheets. I have no shame in my game for that.
I believe the Triple B one time was bought a negligee. At Walmart by...
It wasn't a negligee. By, he bought me a nightshirt.
It's a negligee. And it said, hey, gorgeous. And it was a sequined parrot on the front. It was lovely. No, a sequined toucan. It was lovely.
What did it say?
Hey, gorgeous.
Yeah. Right. I was pregnant when you bought me that.
I love that.
Do you get a tube of A&E ointment with the Walmart sheets?
I think I was pregnant I always with buy William. That. Was I pregnant with William?
It could be.
Yeah, I was. I was pregnant with William. We were at my mom's. It was a black sleep shirt that had that toucan in glitter on it.
Negligee. Yes.
I can't believe I sent you. I gave Rob so many rolls. I was like, please don't buy anything that's like...
sexy.
Or like has cutouts or sequins. I think it was like $4.
You could get a camouflaged G-string.
Stop.
And I wore it. On my face.
Stop.
What I hoped it was.
Moving on.
It was it was returned twice. Okay. It was
lovely.
I'm going
to read you this review. Yes. From James Suckling.
Read it.
A firm polished red with plenty of currant and berry aromas, as well as hints of bark. And mushroom following through to a full body with round juicy tannins and a flavorful finish. It's refined and flavorful again, with lots of fruit on the finish. What? He said, and a flavorful finish. And then the next sentence says, it's refined and flavorful with lots of fruit on the finish.
That's because that's not actually how it ended. In reality, my review did in fact end. They made that up. It's refined and flavorful with lots of fruit on the finish. Drink me or hold me.
Hold me now. And is the other one called Venice?
Venice. Yes, it's Antonio Gallino. Gallini.
Hello, this is Antonio.
A fabulous entry-level offering from Ray Signorello. Lush and generous, the 2018 offers up an exciting melange of blackberry, plum, gravel, spice, and mocha. The Edge offers tons of quality for the money. It is one of the very finest values readers will find in California Cabernet.
And the last review, this is Wilford.
I'll read it.
No, it's no. It was
Bargreen.
Owen Bargreen.
The palate is wonderfully complex with sagebrush, menthol, black currants, and tar, loaded with minerals and captivating acidity. This finish is very long.
Yes.
Gorgeous now. Oh. This has a long way to go in the cellar. Drink 2021 to 2035.
That's Owen Bargreen. What? His issue date was May. What? Who is Owen Bargreen? What does he write for? Look that up, Scott. Owen Bargreen.
Maybe it's just someone like on TikTok.
He's a different issue. He's a TikTok reviewer. That's a long drinking window.
Oh, you're going to like Owen Bargreen.
What's he look like?
Bargreen psychology.
Yeah.
What?
He does have an Instagram.
Does he? Well, that's fantastic. I hope he doesn't try to get my job.
You know? Oh, you're going to like it.
He can replace Jeff.
He's a certified sommelier.
Is he? Does he know that drinking windows shouldn't be 14 years?
You know, not only does he review wine, he also reviews Airport lounges.
And Chippendale dancers, probably.
His most recent post was the review of the British Airways Concorde room lounge in London Heathrow Terminal 5.
Oh, he sounds cool.
I bet he's like, he's like, my review of Butch the Chippendale dancer. I would put $5 in his G-string, but Antonio Gallarini, oh, that guy, I would put a 20 in his G-string.
I'll bet you would, Wolf.
That was this May 20th.
I think you would like Owen Bargreen.
Yes.
You're very snobby, but I think you would like him. He's a Washington wine editor of Venice.
Oh, he's in Venice. Mm-hmm. So Antonio Gallarini.
Right now he's in Puerto Vallarta.
Wow.
He had Le Col Chardonnay from Columbia Valley.
Le Col, yes. We had the Semillon.
And then
it was good.
Domaine mm-hmm. Serene, Florida Ville, mm-hmm. Florida V.
Mm. That's and right.
And Smith Madrone Riesling. That's cool.
So there are two reviews from Venice then?
I guess, yeah.
They couldn't agree. They didn't have a quorum.
A 92 and a 93.
Yeah, two more of them, they would have the tasting panel review. So, alrighty. In the glass.
You know, I was in Mexico one time. That's right.
In the glass, it's very dark.
Well, you don't you want to hear the story? It's cool and graphic.
Graphic?
Slightly pornographic.
Oh, the current is nice.
Oh, she doesn't want to hear. I'll tell that on the second episode.
The current is really nice, and it does have gravel on
it. Maybe you could sneak it in. You know, just like in between sentences.
I'm just going to speak over Robert.
Trust me, somebody did sneak it in.
That's disgusting. What else do you smell?
I'll put my game face on. It is a very interesting nose.
It's a nice nose.
A pungent plum.
Yeah.
I'm trying to recall a nose in the recent few weeks that has been as nice as this.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful nose.
Maybe a little bit of violet kind of streaking through there.
I'll give you that. And as Becky said, there's a little earthy, gravelly thing going on. Something.
Yeah. Limey, kind of gravelly.
Dust, road dust. Something. Yeah.
But not in a bad way.
Like dusty country road kind of.
Country roads, take me home.
No. Does Wolford know the words to that song?
Well, no.
So
I've been to Denver, though.
We're going to taste it?
Yes.
Every time you do that voice, I'm going to interrupt.
What?
So that's the thing about Wilford. He doesn't understand you're interrupting. That's the point. He's like, whoa.
He's used to it.
Well, he doesn't.
How much does this cost?
$22. You know it's Alexander Valley.
Yes, you do.
And how do you know that?
That current just is straight up front, up forward. That is, for me, the number one characteristic of
the brooding black fruits. Really.
I think the brooding
Alex Valley
black fruits that you're speaking of are so, are so good. When you drink a cab, you want something that's broody. And I think that's like what really sings in this wine.
It does.
This is classic Alexander Valley. Mm-hmm. It really is. The black fruit. It's current. It's just that. Yeah.
And it's thick across that mid palate.
It is.
I mean, it's thick. When James says drink or hold.
Yeah.
You might want to hold.
It for 14 years. You want to take it back to Owen?
I mean, you could. Then you'd be using it to make some sort of a mozzarella tomato salad and putting it over that. But it's not going to hold 14 years.
What are your thoughts on the oaking?
Well, it is French. But you can definitely notice the new because it kind of crescendos and kind of sticks with it.
It's subtle. It's well oaked.
It has a little bit of like almost pepper in it.
Sure.
On the oaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Sure.
I think it's really well done. I think this is a really well done wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's an impressive package at $22.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home run, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
It's a goal from outside the box. It's a 40-yard touchdown pass.
I would say you could either, you could definitely age this for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I think that you could, we could have paid 35 easily for it, probably close to 40, and not be disappointed in it.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say $40.
You would think that's what this cost, absolutely. Maybe even 45.
Yeah.
It doesn't 50. Quite get to, you said thick. I was, there's another texture in there. It doesn't quite, it doesn't have like a chalky texture or anything like that, but it's like almost there.
Well, I'm going to mansplain what Rob meant. Mm-hmm. He meant that it's the flavor's thick, not that the wine was thick. I'm going to mansplain you, Rob.
No, actually, I meant the wine was thick. Maybe a slight bit asphalt in the minerality and just kind of that creosote kind of thickness that runs through there. There's a definite weight to it. It really, I mean, if you said French, I know it says French oak, but it's toasty and kind of thick through there. So I would mistake it for American oak. But
you would?
Yeah.
Mm,
the way it's presented.
You would not.
Well, not charred, but it's fairly, I mean, I know it's 50% new, but it is a well-oaked wine. I don't think it's out of balance at all, but no. I mean, you notice it, you know?
The oak is really nice, I think.
Yeah, I think if it was mm-hmm. all American, it would be too heavy, and like, this wine's not a flashy, jazzy wine, and American oaking is just a lot. I think you would have noticed it a lot in a negative way.
I think in 3 or 4 years, it will be a lot more jazzy.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. The more current chocolate part of this mm-hmm. can turn yeah. jazzy.
It's going to reflect a lot more chocolatey mm-hmm. notes and things like that through the mid towards the finish.
Do you like how the front palate zips by so quickly?
We've seen that in a lot of wines. You know, this is not unlike some Italian cabs that we've had, big guttural. Now, those tend to be far more acidic. This isn't acidic. But if you had more acidity there, you'd think it's a little more of an Italian-style, Bordeaux-style wine. But it's not.
I like the front palate, what it shows. It does fly by. Mm-hmm. But if you're drawing air over it, that's where you see it the most. It's like a sweet, like a blueberry, like a really ripe blueberry in there. Yeah, but it just flies by. It's like,
mm-hmm. that is a, it's such a, I mean, it's a, I thought it would be good. I thought it might be a little bit too kitschy, whatnot. No. It's not. No.
Yeah. I thought that too, honestly. I thought that it was going to be something like, not as bad as Drops of Jupiter, but I thought it was going to be like that. The other thing is the tannins are really nice in this too.
Yes. What this wine is not.
I mean, it looks to me like a man's wine. It almost
back
reminded
to the
me, yeah, of Sledgehammer. The labeling looks like Sledgehammer. It does.
Silence comes across the room.
And Sledgehammer is marketed to men.
Sorry, I was having flashbacks. Okay, that was PTSD when you said Sledgehammer.
This also has a split label. So where just look it up online, folks. It's mm-hmm. very modern looking label is how I would describe it. But I get what you're saying about
it's edgy
marketing it to men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, they should it's be just black. Marketing it to people that appreciate good Cabernet.
Yeah.
I think what I wasn't sure about, would this taste of being manipulated?
Yes.
It does not.
More Bonanza-esque. You say Drops of Jupiter. Yeah. More, I was worried, yes, it would go Bonanza. It does not. No. This is traditional.
This is really well done.
Well, I mean, Signorello, that's serious wine.
And
so this is just...
He took this serious.
I mean, he could charge $40 for it if he wanted to, easily, and sell it just fine. I mean, he really could.
You wonder where this will be priced in a couple of years.
Well, how long has it been out? It's been out, what, 5 years? Maybe five vintages?
Sounds about right.
I think about that. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, this is not, $22, you're underselling it. I mean, the thing is, like, for a Carano, that is, for me, the not wildly expensive, but very, very good Alexander Valley Cabernet. The Ferrari Carano, as opposed to this, is a little more approachable early on. It's more chocolate. It's that kind of stuff. This, though, is built for more aging than the Ferrari Carano. Now, if you pull them both out, you put them side by side, and you drink them side by side, today you're going to say, well, the Ferrari Carano is a lot more pleasing, blah, 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 blah. But in 8 years, this might be better than the Ferrari Carano.
It goes back to 2012. It goes back to 2012.
Okay. So that's...
And even at 2012, it was $20 at the release.
That's 6 inches.
That's funny. That's funny.
5 inches? Yeah. That's good. It's a shock. It's a shock that it's this good. Because the packaging is a little trendy, a little kitschy, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the packaging, but it is a little trendy. And to see that it's this good...
Is this what... Would you compare it to a Ferrari Carano? Would that be it's like...
It's not fair, because the Ferrari Carano costs twice as much sometimes.
But would that be what you would...
Don't know. Because I think, like I said, I think Ferrari Carano is... Ferrari Carano is Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving wine to me. It's just so pleasing. You walk in, you're like, oh, it's the turkey is roasting. It's my grandmother's noodles. It's all of those flavors that you're very comfortable with, but always really enjoy.
When we had those couple vintages of Hilltop, that's what I would compare this to.
That's not
when we liked.
Well, not this. I would say Ferrari Carano is a little bit like that. Well, you didn't like the Hilltop, but it's just. It's just so comfortable. This pushes that a little bit. This is a little bit different because this is something that you're saying there's maybe even a little bit more theoretical merit in this wine since they're charging so little for it as opposed to Ferrari Carano, because they've been doing Ferrari Carano since the beginning of time. But it's always good. But so is this.
So far. At least what we know.
I mean, you can like both. Just because this is maybe even better than Ferrari Carano doesn't make Ferrari Carano bad. Ferrari Carano is still really good. It's just costs more.
What are your thoughts? What are your all's thoughts on crowd appeal?
Oh, I think people are going to love this.
Slow down. It depends on the crowd, in my opinion. So I think that it is definitely a heavier, thicker wine to a certain extent. People that like certain lighter things or simpler things or things that are maybe more jammy fruits. It might be too much for them, maybe. But people that just like to indulge and say, you know what, I know what a good cab tastes like, and I want a good cab tonight, they're going to love this.
I think your everyday cab drinker is going to love this.
Mm. Well, look, I was the other day, I was around, there's some people around me, and I didn't talk about it, I wasn't interested, but talking about how good Winking Owl is. So there are groups of people like that. So the people that really think that Winking Owl is delicious won't like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, theoretically, they do drink wine.
There something... I don't want to say vegetal at the front, because that has such a negative connotation, but I feel like I'm getting some kind of tomato at the beginning. Or, I don't know, tomato leaf? Like, I don't know, something like that at the beginning. Stem?
I mean, you could. I mean, I think, if anything, it's just a little pop of the oak right there that carries through. And I think
on
you
the
could.
Front palate?
The very.
An oak pop, you think, is what I'm tasting tomato?
Well, that front palate just
I think
flies
that it
through
makes
what I
that
get,
flavor. Oak can come in on the front.
When I was looking for tomato, I was thinking like sun dried tomato, roasted tomato, something like that. I get like almost a little bit of like leather, almost kind of sort of thing back in there.
It's a Rorschach test. I mean, I could see tomato-esque kind of stemminess, and
Becca,
I could see
about
leather.
Right where it starts to show the black currant, the black fruit, like right there.
Yeah, I taste it. I think it's a kind of the oak showing a little bit. But.
It's pretty quick. I mean, the front palate is really quick.
It's real
quick.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You're getting that sweet blueberry, that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. Right after that, or you're saying with that?
It's like a flash right after it,
yeah.
I think, right before the mid.
What I would call it for me is something like a little like leathery thing.
I think it finishes leathery, but I think I think the beginning part of that, because starting, I think that that's the oak coming in. It's not traditional what we'd say, but it just contrasts off the fruit and it gives a little bit of a stemmy element to it.
Okay.
I mean, not a bad way, but like tomato stem or tomato, sun-dried tomato. It's just a little bit of whatever.
Not off-putting.
Yeah. And then, but then it carries over, and at the end with the, where the fruit has diminished, but it's a little more mocha and chocolate, and then the tannins are coming in, at the end, that's where I see the leather coming from. And it's the same crescendo, but it's just at the end. So the beginning, it starts there, and then it finishes up different. I think it's very nice.
I agree.
You know what restaurants should serve this?
Hmm. Everyone?
All of them.
Well, better ones.
Even bad ones. Like, you're okay, so there's a steakhouse we go to, and they don't do well with their wines. They have nothing but bad wines. And every time they get one that's decent, they quit carrying it. But you could charge a premium price for this. If you had nothing but crappy wines, you could put a price tag of $50 a bottle, and some people would be ecstatic.
This was more like $60 a bottle, because about 20.
But I'm saying,
oh, I would pay $50-$60 a bottle with it for this in a second, especially if I'm eating a dry aged ribeye. This
would be fantastic.
I mean, this is, I don't know, this is such a surprise. I mean, the reviews of Jimmy getting a 93, 92. Well, it's Venice and Jimmy, but I guess it's consistent. It's 93s and 92s.
Yeah, it's 91, Spectator. 92, 92, 93.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been the 90s. And Spectator, I don't think, is reviewed, or nor is Robert. But
the only people that I don't think would like this is a pretty dry cab. It doesn't have a lot of sweetness in it. And so people that like that element are not going to like this. But I don't like my cabs like that. So
yeah, they're like a Jamie kind of. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if you'd call it. Let's see. If you're a lover of Paso, you know, that kind of, you know, this might not be your bag.
Hippo, he has his head propped up on a pillow.
Oh, my God. That's pretty hilarious. Yeah, Bo comes in. He just is, like, flipping out, hugging Scott. Just then, in like, 30 seconds into the show, he's asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he, like, comes down here.
Look, Scott, he has his head propped up on that pillow.
He lays down on the couch, and he just goes to sleep. And he sleeps the rest of the show, pretty much. Yeah. He's just not up and around. He's not moving around. He just passes out. I don't know why it is. It's just that he gets so excited to come down here and do this.
That couch is great to lay on and sleep on. I think he's like,
oh. Yeah, just, I enjoy it. Just to sleep. Mm-hmm. And he waits until we're all done. Then we sit on the couch and he lays on Scott's lap.
Does he?
Yes. So, but it's like, you know, what, 3 hours?
Yeah.
He just sleeps on the couch.
He got some loving before the show.
I heard him when Rob was like, moving stuff around, like bringing down wine glasses and whatever, he starts crying. And if he's outside when that's happening, he loses his mind, doesn't he?
Yep.
He's got to have Scott time.
I got to say this. We've had, for once, two shows in a row where we had good wine. Fat Bastard, which is shocking.
Yep.
Enjoyable. And then this.
Oh, we didn't do Scores of Integrity.
That's true. We didn't.
I didn't write mine down.
I would have probably lost anyway. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Oh, yeah. I would have put like an 86 tops.
I would have thought 87, 88. Because normally when we have these kind of wines, it's like, oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were wrong. But we're going to take a break and be right back with a very lively potpourri here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we are going to... You know, Wine Spectator, by the way. You go on there, winespectator.com. You have to pay for a year membership. I just don't know how to cancel mine. But you get a lot of things. And one thing you get are quizzes. tonight we're going to work together.
We're going to do a quiz.
Okay. And this quiz is called Cabernet Melee.
That's a great one.
Well, it's Cabernet night.
Let's do it.
So we're going to start off question one. Cabernet Sauvignon flavors can vary depending on terroir and winemaking style. But what are some notes that are considered varietal hallmarks of the wine, even if they do not appear in all versions? First being bell pepper, mint, dark fruit, and cedar. Raspberry, chocolate, and dark apple.
What's that mean? Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck, nobody knows what dark. Lime, peach, pina colada. Oh, I think so. And then dry fruit, kung pao, long hot pepper, crispy rice.
What was number two?
Are you sure those are all flavors in the wine and not food you would pair it with?
I don't know. That's what I've paired with. Crispy rice
and kung pao.
Raspberry, chocolate, and dark apple.
I don't know what dark apple means, but I got to go with that.
Well, no. What was the first one?
Bell pepper, mint, dark fruit, and cedar, which is what it should be.
I feel like bell pepper?
Yeah.
I feel like, what was the last thing on that?
Dry fruit, kung pao, long.
No, the last thing on the first one.
Mint? Cedar.
Yeah.
Yeah, mint.
Okay.
Right, we're correct.
Okay.
Cabernet flavors can, yes. Answer, bell pepper, mint, dark fruit, and cedar. What did you think it was? Dark apple? What the fuck is that?
I don't know what dark apple is, but how many cabs do we have that don't have chocolate in it?
Well, these are some things that all do, well, sometimes do. They're hallmark things. Mint is a hallmark. Dark fruit is a hallmark.
Cedar was the one that
from oak. Yeah.
The dark fruit, yeah.
We don't necessarily refer to it as cedar, but it can be. Bell pepper, chile. Next.
I wouldn't think bell pepper is a
I wouldn't say bell pepper, but when we were talking about that tomato stem, it could be a bell pepper stem as well.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Sure. Often Cabernet is blent with other grapes to make what are called Bordeaux blends or Meritage wines, which are its most common partners. Well, this is pretty easy, but Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, Sauvignon Blanc, what questions are for Semillon and Muscadel?
Muscadel.
That's it.
Moscato. Merlot, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot, or Eddie Van Halen, Alex Van Halen, David Lee Roth, or Sammy Hagar.
What?
Hagar.
Someone was drunk when they made this.
Yes. Oh, obviously, I got that right. Merlot, Cab Franc, and Petit Verdot.
Who's you have to guy say that your you answer. You all used to talk to on wine.com.
It's Jeff.
Jeff, do you think Jeff did this?
No, I did it. Eddie Van Halen is great. He's dead, you know.
Okay, next.
Did you know that? I didn't mean to upset you. It's awkward now. It's a pause.
It is very awkward.
Whenever I talk, there's always an awkward pause after it.
Whenever you breathe, there's an awkward pause.
Normally, the people I'm talking to are gagged.
Prosciutto wrapped melon.
Oh.
Okay.
Don't have any melon. But okay. The left bank of Bordeaux is the original showcase region and possibly the birthplace of Cabernet Sauvignon. Why is it so good for Cab? Cabernet has been cultivated and vinified there for millions of years from the time of Romans.
Millions, okay.
Millions?
The dinosaurs ate
$1 million. dollars.
No, millions of you. The predominance of well-drained gravelly soils in maritime climate usually allow for the late ripening grape to reach ideal phenomic maturity. That's probably correct. The grape is resistant to phylloxera, is that what it is? Which ravaged the region's other grapes. As it began gaining reputation as the Napa of France, it was natural to
fit. The Napa of France? No. You know, every French person that's ever read that is like, fuck you.
Yeah, B is the answer.
Yeah, B.
Oh, I got it right. Yeah.
I thought
it was we.
That phlox was just in the U.S. Is it in France, too?
No, it was in Europe.
It wasn't.
Oh, and now it's here.
Well, doing grafting, things like that, they found ways to make it resistant.
They grafted with American vines to overcome it.
Mm. Here we go. Cabernet is famously the child of Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Franc. But whom is it parent to? Marlezan, a grape increasingly popular in China. Cabernet Blanc, which can grow in cooler places like Germany and Switzerland. Chenin Blanc, which an Australian accident, all of the above.
An Australian accident? That makes it sound like an unplanned pregnancy.
I think it's all of the above.
Everything in the Australia is an accident. But yes, I would go with all of the above because I don't know what that stuff
is. But I think I think the Marlison is a descendant of Cabernet Sauvignon.
All of the above, Scott says. Right! All of the above.
Ding, ding, ding.
Because how could you make up all that shit?
Well, easily.
For a wine to be labeled Napa Valley Cabernet, the grape must be comprised of at least 85% of the blend. For a left bank Bordeaux, red to be labeled with a Medoc appellation like Pouillac or Saint Estefi, how much of the blend must be Cabernet? 50%?
I think
75%, 90%. There is no percentage requirement. In some wines, Cabernet is not even the dominant grape.
I'd go with the last answer.
And Saint Estefi and Pouillac?
It's either 50 or D. No designation.
I would go with 50.
I think I'm going to go no designation.
I think we've had C or D, but I don't know. This is not my area of love.
It's a difficult one. Here we go.
What are you picking?
The answer was D. There is no percentage requirement. In some wines, Cabernet is not even the dominant grape.
Yeah, baby. Right.
We should have gone. If I thought it was C or D and baby. He thought it was A or D, we should have gone with D. You went with A.
No, I said D.
I clicked on D.
No, Rob went with A.
I went with D.
You did not. We got it wrong.
Oh, that's true. I lied. Cabernet is...
Well, Rob got it wrong.
I thought it might be...
Got it right. Normally, it is one
well,
of the
I guess,
cap, but there is no...
No, there. I guess, now you think about it, because it could be even 30% and be the dominant
grape. Yeah.
Cabernet is a known heavyweight in places like California and France. But it is the most planted grape in which of these other countries powering many of its premier wines? Australia, Argentina, Chile, or Cabrasher? It's not a real place.
What place?
Kazakhstan. That's my favorite place. I vacation in Kazakhstan.
I'll bet you do.
I do. Place. Yes.
How do you spell that?
What?
Don't you just
live there? C-A-B-C-O-K-C-K Stan. S-T-A-N. Mm-hmm. Cab Cock Stan.
Doesn't Stan have a restraining order against you?
Owen Bargreen loved to be there. He's like, you know, I'm reviewing more Chippendale dancers. And this guy's name is Chip.
Owen Bargreen has a great Instagram. I just started following him.
I know.
Be mean.
I would rate this Chippendale dancer a 50 in his G-string.
You said you'd rate?
I know.
What?
That's what it's
what is wrong
like.
With you,
get away.
I have a list.
No wonder.
Get away.
Rebecca
you put a
you
50
show.
In his G-string. Rob. It's consensual.
What?
Go ahead. All right. So which one are we picking? Australia, Argentina, Chile, or Kazakhstan?
Well, they all have cab. What was the question again? What's the dominant grape in the area?
Mm-hmm.
The predominant?
Powering many of its premier wines.
Well, they all have many of their premier wines. Argentina, Chile, and Australia. All have quite a few. Let's go away from Australia because of Shiraz.
I think it's Argentina.
It's actually the answer is Chile.
Rob already answered. Why'd you do that?
Well, what's the matter? What's
What'd
the difference?
You pick?
I picked Chile. Or I picked Australia.
Why?
I don't know, because...
That's the one that I would have said it's minus.
I understand the Shiraz aspect, but that I thought that might be a trick question. Ah.
Why didn't you wait on us?
He didn't. There was no discussion. He thought so.
No, I thought it was all going to be wrong. No right answer.
I would have said all three of those have, that's the predominant grape, but I don't know. Argentina.
It was Chile.
It was Chile. It's interesting.
I should pull up that chart.
Although, I remember a long time ago when we were doing wine.com, Wine Vault Trivia, one of the questions was, like, the percentages, or like, the main producers of Cabernet, and Chile was up in that. Mm. That was a very exciting question from that, but I do remember that.
Mm.
So.
Hang on here.
All right, next question.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I have drank it. Priorat in Spain. Priorat. And Cabares in the south of France are somewhat unusual in their relationship with Cabernet. How?
Read it again.
Priorat, whatever
Priorat.
The hell.
Priorat.
Porrat, that's right. In Spain, and Cabarrés in the south of France are somewhat unusual in their relationship with Cabernet. How? While others, this is number one, while others were rushing to plant Cabernet a few decades ago, they ripped out old vines of it instead. Two, they are amongst the few old world appellations that permit it to be blended with Rhone varietals like Syrah and Grenache. Next, it's primarily used to make rosé and sparkling wines there. Or three, they are a throuple.
What?
Is that bad? What does that mean? A throuple.
Three people in a couple.
Oh, that's right. It's a threesome. It's a menage a trois.
I feel like it's A or C.
Well, but Porrat, do they make a lot of rosés in Porrat? The Cabarrés, that would make sense in the south of France, but well, maybe so. I think that I think if I were going to roll, well, sparkling wines though, Cabernet and sparkling wines,
you can. It happens.
You can do a lot of things.
Yeah, I would say A or C, but I don't know.
I would go with A. What do you think? No, maybe B.
What's B?
They are among the few old world appellations that permit it to be blended with Rhone varietals like Syrah and Grenache.
Have you seen that?
Well, I've seen Cabernet blend with those things before, yes.
Okay, then do it.
I've never paid attention to where that was, but all right, you want to say B?
Say not B. Really.
I mean, it's probably wrong, but it's correct.
Oh, wow. Way to go.
There we go.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was sparkling. Yeah.
I can't believe you don't know what a throuple is.
I'm not a pervert.
It's not a pervert. People can do whatever they want. Your consenting adults have at it.
That's right. And Owen was consenting too. And so Rob. Was Chip. What? Anyway. Cabernet is the jewel of Napa red grapes, but it is also the most planted red variety in all the following established up-and-coming California regions, except Mendocino, Paso Robles, Scott's favorite, Lodi, or the Santa Lucia Highlands.
Well, what's the segment, Mendocino? Is that an up-and-coming area?
Mm-hmm. I would say it's the Santa Lucia Highlands, but that's okay. Pinot and Chardonnay. But these are getting progressively harder, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, they are.
Everybody agree with...
Well, the last one of the answers was throuple.
Well, that wasn't a real answer, but yeah.
Yeah, but still, I would agree with you.
All right. Oh, we're correct. Santa Lucia Highlands.
Lucia.
9. Italy's Super Tuscan Revolution came about when winemakers started planting French varieties, especially Cabernet Sauvignon. Which of these now iconic wines are not Cab dominated? Antinori Solaia, or Solaia, I know what it is, but Ornella, Masetto, I think we all know that. Or why do I have to do this? I know all these damn labels, but I don't know how to pronounce them. Sassiala, or no, Sassi, S-A-S-S-I-C-A-I-A. What the hell is that pronounced? They all are $300 bottles of wine.
Okay.
I'm thinking, I don't think the Sassia is, or Sassicia, what the fuck it is. I don't know. We don't know. Well, we're going to say that one. And we're wrong. It's Masetto. Whatever. Who cares? That's a tough one.
Okay. Here's what
I'm
looking for.
In the recent years, the French corporations that own Bordeaux estates like Cheval Blanc and Lafite Rothschild, which I can pronounce, have unveiled high-end Cabernet blends like Aulon and Longdai, made in which are on the rise wine countries. That would be Japan, China, Indonesia, or Spain. Yes, they made Aulon and Longdai in Spain. Yes, I'm sure that's true. Probably China, wouldn't you agree?
China's...
The Indonesian, seeing that they're Muslim, the Indonesian wine industry is probably not really that prominent. It's also way too hot there.
The answer is China.
And I'm right, and we're right, it's China. So that was Cabernet Malay. We got a 70%. That's passing.
A lot of those were really obscure.
If I
had
taken out my own, I would have gotten a better score.
Good for you. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2018 Edge Alexander Valley Cabernet by Ray Signorello. That's right. If it wasn't good, I wouldn't mention his name because he gave me a fire before we started. So,
well, I think you would mention his name, but just not with such
Ray Signorello.
It'd be more disdain.
More like Cinderella. Cinderella.
Night and day, it's Cinderella.
Yes. He's probably never heard that before. He's like, then everybody at the wineries are going to start, Cinderella. Then he'll fire them, but that's okay.
No, probably won't.
They'll learn their lesson.
It's required reading.
That's true. So we're going to go around the room. We're going to start off with a triple B, who has made many beautiful drawings on her piece of paper today.
I have.
That's right. It's almost like mystical. It is.
Like Mystical Pizza?
No, just mystical. She does. It's like
That actress from Mystical Pizza.
Was it Marissa Tomei? No, it was Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. It was like her first movie.
That's right.
I think so.
My score?
That, yes.
I'm going to give it an 88.
What? You're giving it an 88? All right.
I would go 88, 89.
Don't let him intimidate you.
And I just thought you liked it more than that. That's all.
I do like it.
Okay.
I recommend it. I think it's very nice.
Go ahead. I'm just whistling. Can I whistle in this world?
An 88 is a good score.
88 is a really good score.
It is. It is. I'm surprised. That's all.
I'm in a range.
But you were higher than that. That's all.
Okay.
88 to 90, but I'm going to go with a 90.
Oh.
I'm not done.
I didn't think she was done either. She had a lot more to say.
Well, she wasn't saying anything. I thought
it's like, it's like you're censoring her.
You're the one censoring her.
You are judgmental.
No, I was surprised, not judgmental.
Surprised why?
Because I thought you were more right than that.
He took a big pull on that because he was trying to gather himself and gather his thoughts and trying to balance.
I don't know. Is the hot dog salesman must be like, you must put down the edge. It is too American.
I think this is an 88. I would recommend it. I would buy it again. I would drink it again and be very happy.
You will drink it again, by the way.
Here is why it's an 88.
Go ahead.
Number one, we all remarked on how quick the front palate was. It does not have an elevated mouthfeel, which is fine. I'm only saying this to say why I didn't score it higher. Mm-hmm. The reasons why I'm scoring an 88, I really liked the gravel. I thought that was great. The currant is a touch overwhelming for me, like a little bit too much, kind of in the way that J. Lore was too black cherry for me, just not my favorite. But I do think the oaking is really well balanced. The tannins are great. I drank two glasses. This is a nice
wine. You did have two glasses.
Yeah. I don't know about this with like a steak.
Oh, I do. I'm right now fantasizing about, well, not fantasizing.
I don't know about it with a steak, but I would, I'd drink it again. I'd recommend it. I think that this is something they need to do a new label on it.
Mm-mm, I like the label.
Now you're man shaming.
That's true.
It is
sexism.
It is bad.
It's kind of a sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's cutting. The label's cutting edge.
Okay, I do.
It's a play on cutting edge, though. You know, because
they cut edge, the bottom of the label off.
The bottom of the letters are cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the edge, so it's cutting. It's very
it's
cutting
next level.
Edge.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah.
Well,
so
like undercut. I said, they undercut it.
They need to put a new label on, but it is a really, really good wine. I would, again, drink it again.
Are you taking points off because of the marketing?
She's taking points off because that's what her orders were.
Yeah, 88, and I mean that in a nice way, not in a mean way.
She got that in a manila envelope under a bridge at the park.
She was so stupid. It was inside our morning paper.
What was her suggestion? If they suspect you, just say,
you're so stupid.
That is is perfect. They will never suspect
you. 88 is not a bad score.
It's such a terrible score. Go ahead, Scott.
Did you get the secret papers?
By the way, yeah.
William asked me today if we had to pay for our mail.
No, because the dumbass people knock it over with their fucking...
That's a good question.
It was a, he was like
taxes. Stamps.
And postage, yeah. So I guess he's not wrong. Go to the
post office. He must know where his mother's from. They don't have to pay for mail because everything is, you know, owned by the state. So, Scott.
I think.
What score did you give it?
90.
Okay, 90.
It's a range, though.
It's not a 90.
It's a range, though. 88 to 90. But this is a 90. I
hold my beer.
You're not giving it a 90.
I'm not giving it a 90.
I think that the black current.
You're giving it above a 90?
Easy. Now it's my turn.
Yes, it's Scott's turn. Don't interrupt, comrade.
But I think the black current is.
Put your Russian hat on and do the dance.
Trademark Alexander Valley.
It is.
Oak super well. This wine is really craftily done. This is a tasty drink. Big, not quite bold. I do like the subtle things. The pepper, we talked about that. Becky talked about it being tomato. I thought it was a little kiss of leather. Yeah. I love that quick burst of ripe blueberry. It is short.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little unusual structure in that way that the front palate does fly by. And in another wine, maybe I would knock it down just like Becky did.
We've had so many great big wines. That's what you do. Because
I'm just not going to knock it down for that here.
No,
I like
not.
It. I like that little bit of the front palate.
Hey, man, you're proud to be American, at least where you know you're free. So I'm just saying. Anyway, on to me.
You want to run through that again? Proud to be an American, where you at least you know you're
a little Lee Greenwood motherfucker. So anyway,
is he anti-vaxxer too?
Probably. That's a good point.
Is he alive?
But no, he's an animatronic robot. Well, that'd be redundant.
I just meant
Branson.
Still.
Well, he's in Branson. So is that alive?
He's like a wax figurine.
I mean, you know, you're in Branson for Christ's sake. I got my own theater. Great.
Somebody like that, I feel like, died not that long ago.
I think it was.
He died years ago. Anyway.
No, he's still alive.
I know, but he died.
Lee Greenwood death, August 27, 2020.
He died?
Maybe it's a different Lee Greenwood.
No, there's many Lee Greenwoods.
Don't know.
The one that is faux talented. Which one is that? Is that faux talent?
Melvin Lee Greenwood is still alive.
Who's Melvin?
It's his name.
Oh, it's not really Lee. Was not even his. Melvin Greenwood doesn't have the same kind of ring. It's Melvin on the show, folks. Hi. Yes, my middle name is not Melvin. It's Wilford. What? No. My middle name is I don't know. So, on to me.
No, it says he's dead at 75.
Wow.
What?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. So.
It doesn't matter. I can't believe you said that.
The Edge Cabernet. How do I feel about this wine? First of all, when I review a wine, first of all, I look at the structure.
He's doing a 2022 tour. But he's 40 years of hits.
His corpse is doing it. They're just wheeling him around. And it's just like his jawbone falls off. And he's like, hi. But they can't tell, you know. He staggers out there, you know. Put a guitar around him, and his body kind of crumbles when they put the strap over his bony shoulder. And, you know,
he's not coming anywhere near here.
No, he's not, because the smell would his finger falls off, and he had to like tape it back on. They have like a little drill bit and like piano wire, so they can put it back together as he starts falling apart on stage. It's just, you know. Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, that's entertainment for Branson, I understand. So anyway.
So he was nominated by President George W. Bush to be on the National Endowment for the Arts. And so then he served under Obama and Donald Trump. And then Biden removed him. And he got an email, and he was really upset that nobody called him and told him he got removed.
So there are a bunch of fake, like... trolling Republican Lee Greenwood's dead websites.
Yeah, and it costs me a lot to open those. So, my review. Don't anybody interrupt me. I'll knock your mics off.
The reason why he got removed is because he was...
Lee Greenwood? Dead?
a Trump fan.
Oh, there you go.
And when Marine One descended on the villages, robbed the villages.
The what?
Didn't he? Wasn't he one of the artists who did the CDC commercials for wearing a mask? And I think he got criticized for that.
I don't know.
Let me see.
I don't watch OAN.
I don't know what that is.
Ask Scott. So, my review. First of all, when I review a wine, I look at say, you know what? First of all, is it tasty? Yes.
This,
would you stop interrupting me?
Do you think he tans, or do you think it's spray, or do you think it's like some weird carrot diet?
A carrot diet.
You know how when you eat too many carrots, you turn orange?
I don't know about that.
If you're going to interrupt Rob the Wine Guy, then I'm going to be the one that fucking reads his disgust. So anyway, the Edge Cabernet.
Let's look at him and tell
the Edge Cabernet. It's stuck in your hair when I throw shit at you. I'm going to throw everything I can find at you. Anyway, so when I review a wine, I think, is it tasty? Yes, this wine is, but it's also brooding and it's somewhat collectible.
This is what he looks like
you
now.
Be quiet.
Ouch,
oh, sorry.
Rob.
I'm very good targeting with a cork. Anyway, that's synthetic cork. That's like throwing one of your old girlfriends at somebody. It's very ha-ha. I deflected it off my headphones. Anyway.
This is the best outfit, though.
I'm going to buy that
American
for you.
American flag windbreaker jeans.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a negligee that just looks like that for you. Anyway.
His wife is 4 inches taller than him.
Well, yeah, but she's 5'6". So, I'm providing this wine 92 of my points.
You're stupid.
See, I brought
That's
it back.
That's a stupid
no,
score.
No, it's not.
That is a dumb score. Let me tell you all, this wine is an 88.
It's not. You're
it's
wrong.
Great, but you all are being
it's
inappropriate.
A 92. 92. Shh.
Are you being serious?
Yes. Let me explain to you what your review is. Anyway.
Someone's going to buy this thinking it's a 92 and it's an 88.
But because they trust me.
Which is a...
It's not an 88.
False.
It's not an 88.
This wine is great. It is a very, very good
it's
wine.
It's an excellent wine. Yes, you're right. A 92. Excellent. It has ageability.
Review.
It's desirable.
Five, it is desirable.
I think 5 to 8 years.
It is desirable.
It has great tannin. It's a full-bodied wine. You can pair it with anything.
It does have ageability.
Beautiful
I agree
wine.
With everything.
And by the way,
it's not a 92.
Wine experts agree with me.
Okay.
Robert Suckle. James Suckle.
We're not the best
Wilford
ones,
Long.
But other people. Oh, and other people that aren't on probation.
I'm going to go watch Emily in Paris.
Yeah. Owen Greenbar. He gave it a 93. I think it's a 92. Maybe that's top of the mark. But I think it's special.
Owen Bargreen.
I didn't remember what his name was. I don't go to those bars.
I'm going to start following him on Instagram and we're going to be friends.
Oh, good. But then he'll tell you why this is a better wine than what you're giving. 88, Jesus Christ. Hall of Fame to the Edge.
Stupid. You're just doing that to be a turd.
I'm not doing it to be a turd. I think it's a great wine. It's impressive.
A 92.
A 92. You want me to give it a 93? Because I'm not going to do that. It's not 93.
That's a stupid score. A 92 is a stupid
score. An 88 is a stupid score.
I think an 88, 89 is exactly
it's
what
it's a dumb score.
I think 90 is perfect.
Boop.
Anything above with a 9 and above? If you said 91, I'd be all right with that.
What? Are you being serious?
Yeah. I didn't, though.
You're just giving me a hard time.
I think I've got it right. I think my score is
I don't think so, Scott, because it has ageability.
Okay, if you say so.
Seriously. I see that. I give extra points for that. I think that this wine...
I'm giving an 89 for that.
You're not even on your mic. Nobody can hear you. Anyway, I give
be
it
nice.
Extra points for that ageability, for the fact that, quite frankly...
I'm going to give you extra points for this.
Why don't you throw something else at me?
I will. Only it'll be bigger and heavier this time. Maybe it's sharper. No, it won't be. Don't worry about that. I'm just joking.
He's being mean.
But you butthole. You took all the wine. Now I'm going to throw it at you.
That's what my score was.
Good night, comrade. I love you. Anyway.
Thank you for the brownie, Scott.
You're welcome. Enjoy the brownie.
Did I say that out loud?
You did say that.
Well, dump on that back. Anyway. The reason why I gave her a 92 now that she left so she can't interrupt me. And I hate the fact that you took it all. But then again, that's fair because I've been drinking.
Well, yeah, you just pounded a second pour yourself.
No. This wine.
It's funny. The person that scored it the lowest drank the most of it.
I know. Well, I don't like it. I give it 88. It's delicious. Like, so if Becky gave it a 90, fair enough. 88's a stupid score.
Well, I don't know about stupid.
It's
fine.
But yeah, 88 is more of a, this is a very pleasant wine. We even mocked and said, oh, it was this, I'll give it an 88. But no, it's not. It's not an 80s wine. It's a 91. 92, top of the mark. But I think it probably deserves that. Maybe it isn't quite as complex as you, but the nose is. And it has many, many elements. We didn't break it down and says, what did we taste right now? What elements do we see? And if we did,
there were quite a few.
We're going to see a myriad of those things. We're going to see a lot of complexity. We're going to see, we see big tannin. We see a good integration of oak that is substantial and is there. It's present. In Hellman, the oak starts off the front palate, and then it crescendos into something else. Yeah, we even get fucking leather. We start off with like the tomato stem, the stem. That it crescendos into fucking leather.
I think I understand why she gave it 88.
Because she's no, on the take.
The structure, but I like the structure of it. It's a little non-traditional. That's all.
No, it is traditional for a Cabernet. But no. It's more traditional. What we have next, the Bourdonnais, it's more traditional for left bank Bordeaux.
Yeah, short front palates.
Yes.
Some great French wines. You hardly even talk about the front palate because it just flies by because there's not much there.
And that's the reason. I really like that because it reminds me of that. Now, not all the time do you find that in Alexander Valley. But this, although, I think that's going to change a little bit as it gets a little more age. The 14 years is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think 5 to 8 years, definitely.
I see, I'm not as sure as you are of how long you could go
with
this.
That's not that long, though.
I don't,
you can do
think
Zins
I
that
would
long.
Even, I, mm. you know, 3 or 4. But who knows? I mean, this is, hey, at $22, this is something you can buy 6 bottles and hold one of them for 8 years just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, 14, though, is dumb. That's just dumb. That just says you don't know what you're doing. That's why I suggested that he reviews Chippendale models. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
That'd be I've always liked them.
Man, they're ripped, man. They're buff. That's right. No, what? No, they're not. Triple B kept interrupting. Pissed me off. Throw something at her.
She interrupts you all the time, Wolford.
She's very rude.
I don't think she appreciates you.
She doesn't. You know what she likes?
What does she like?
Eastern Bloc vodka. She's a damn spy. I know it. I'm American. I'm blue-blooded. Did you know that?
Well, you're blue-blooded because you're an alcoholic and you've been technically dead for 5 years, so your blood has turned blue.
No, I'm not technically dead. I actually am dead.
Well,
but this is the thing. I never got to tell them about my trip in Mexico.
Let's leave that for another time.
You're right. You know what? That's what they said, too. And I was like, well, okay. you could fill in the blanks if you'd like.
Yeah, they're not. It's not blank.
Nobody
exactly.
was shooting those that time. Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just. To give you the setting, there was a guy named Pablo, a woman named Maria, because there always is a woman named Maria.
Easy.
A guy named Jose.
What was the burro named?
Well, no, there wasn't a burro, but it was a goat. Two goats and a cat, but I don't want to talk about the cat. It was a fantastic time, that's all I can say. Anyway, for Rob the Wine Guy... Scott the unlicensed taxi driver and the communist no good Triple B. We are going to bid you adieu and see you next time
here on the Wine Vault. Good night.